Hey everybody, welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And today we're going to be talking about Kamen Rider Drive Episode 32. We're headed in the home stretch here, Liam. What happened?
Yeah, we're coming up to the end. If you remember last episode, Shinosuke got his ass kicked by Freeze and he stood up and said, I'm going to keep fighting. Well, this episode he doesn't keep fighting because Go and Chase burst out of a wall between him and Freeze and start beating each other up and, like, getting in their way. And Freeze is like, fuck this. And he leaves. He's like, this is too many people.
Freeze, like, slaps him around a little bit first.
Yeah, he messes around, but he doesn't... He decides ultimately that this is too much work and he fucks off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, the time is not right, is what he says, basically. So everybody leaves after a bit more fuckery. And Shinosuke asks Krim, he says, I've got the dart inside me, the memory-altering dart, but it's not altering my memories because I'm the protagonist. So if you can take it out through surgery, maybe we can find a way to reverse the brain control shit. So they do it.
Yeah, we get Mad Doctor again. Like, we spent so many episodes bitching that the shift cars weren't doing anything. They never came back. Mad Doctor shows up.
Yeah, they've been really good about that recently. This and a few other episodes before that. So Mad Doctor shows up, he performs an extremely, unfathomably painful surgery to remove the dart, and they get it, and they make the cure for the thing. And meanwhile, Gen goes to Neera and he says, oh my god, Neera, your boss is a robot, and he's kidnapping people, and he's erasing all their memories about them.
And for some reason, like, Neera does not believe this.
Yeah, I don't know. What's his deal? So Neera goes to 001, and he says, everybody's saying weird things about you, 001. Is what's going on? And 001 says, Neera, you're fired. I don't need you anymore. And thus, we have lost the best character in the show. But that's a story for later. So they finish the antidote, and they test it out on Gen, and it works, because Gen has been mind-controlled before. So it works. He can say Roid Mew now.
Gen has actually been mind-controlled, and that's why he can't remember to say Roid Mew, though.
Yeah, he always says roast porco or steroido or whatever because he can't...
Hemorrhoido
is one of my favorites.
It's the best one.
Now he can say Roid Mew because they fixed him. And they also give a little bottle. It's a fucking... This is kind of dumb. It's like a little spray bottle, like something you'd spray a cat with when it's being bad, full of like a blue liquid. And you just like spritz it into their face. And that's the end of it. You'd think it would be like painful, invasive surgery or something to get the dart out, but no, okay. I mean, it's a kid's show, it's gotta be simple, so I can deal with it.
They don't have the money to make another prop to take something out of somebody. It's just, what's sitting around? Well, one of the actors brought in a spray bottle in case it got stinky in here. Yeah, fucking put some food coloring in that shit.
Yeah,
done.
Just pour a little bit of blue in there, and there you go. Budget is saved. So they have the antidote. They give it to the kid from the last episode who lost his dad, and the kid tells them to go fuck themselves. But that's the end of that little... For now, that's the end of that little
subplot. Well, the kid tells them to go fuck themselves, and Shinosuke's like, oh yeah? Well, how about those fucking sweets you love? Leaves them out for...
The sweets that the kid used to eat with his dad, yeah.
Yeah.
To remind him. But we leave the little kid, and we go back to the pit, the old... Tokujo Special Crimes Unit crew, and Neera comes in and he says, okay, I'm sorry, I want to help. I want to help you guys solve this missing persons case, because they go around and find there's a whole bunch of other missing people right along with this kid's dad, and they've, just like the kid's dad, they've all been forgotten the same way.
Yeah, all 20 of them.
So everyone's like, what's going on? Why are all these people missing? I don't know. So through Mr. X and with the help of Neera, they're able to track the kidnapped people to this like warehouse on the edge of town, obviously, because it's Toei. It's always a warehouse.
Of course. Well, real quick, do you think Neera is going to be part of the Special Crimes Unit from now on?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh god, that's so great.
I'll talk a little bit more about Neera. That's a sticking point I had with this episode. But Neera, this is, if you needed any more confirmation that Neera is going to be a part of the SCU from now on, he pulls the big lever, or Chief pulls the big lever, and he's about to say, oh, Special Crime Unit, move out. And Neera shoves him out of the way and says it instead. He says, Special Crimes Unit, go, transform and roll out.
He's the best.
He's the man now. So the Special Crimes Unit does indeed transform and roll out, and they go to the abandoned warehouse where 001 is keeping all the dudes. And 001 reveals that the viruses that he made up to give everybody an exam was to find people who were immune to his memory-altering dart. So that was what that... It wasn't nanomachines, unfortunately. It wasn't some crazy twist about slowdown.
That would have been so cool.
This show keeps suffering from us going, man, wouldn't this be the craziest fucking twist?
And the show's and like, then, nope, it wouldn't be.
No insane twists for you, no thank you. So that's what he was doing, and he's kidnapped all the people who are immune, and he's frozen them, because he's got to do it. Because he can't fuck with them, so he's got to fuck with everybody else around them. He's got to remove them from the picture.
It turns out that he can't mind wipe them, but he could freeze them real good.
Yeah, might as well. So they fight. It's a big fucking fight. And during the fight, Shinosuke turns into type formula, and he really, really fucks up Freeze. He beats him up really bad. You could almost say that he humiliates him.
Dun, dun, dun.
And through attaining ultimate fusion with the emotion of humiliation, 001 is able to reach his ultimate evolution, which is that he dips himself in a bucket of gold paint and comes out more powerful than ever before.
He turns into supersonic.
He fucking collects the Dragon Balls.
Go ahead.
And he fucking kills Shinosuke right in the face.
He kills him.
He fucking rams like a chunk of ice through his chest or something. He impales him and just murders him.
Ripping fucking pieces, Shinosuke.
Just destroys him. And then the episode ends. Everybody's like, oh my god, Shinosuke, you're dead. And then the episode ends. And in the next episode preview, this is one of my favorite parts. I was expecting, okay, it's going to be like, oh, Shinosuke wakes back up and he's back in action. But no, the next episode preview comes on and there's no sound effects and there's no like big upbeat music. It's just like silence. And everybody's like, we gotta get Freeze for what he did. He fucking killed Shinosuke. And it shows them, like, putting him in a fucking body bag.
He's in the fucking morgue getting, like, an autopsy done and shit.
Like, whoa, okay, he's actually dead.
Yeah,
the show is gonna keep going, so he's not actually dead, but...
They put a lot of effort into the idea that he's dead. Like, they even flash his name on the screen and put, like, killed in action next to it and shit.
Yeah, you know, they always do that in Japanese media, where they display the character's name on screen when they're dead. Shinosuke Tomari, killed in action.
It's a very good scene. Crying. And, of course, in the preview for the next episode, we also see Go has snapped out of his shit.
Yeah, so we'll see about how that goes down. And we see one quick shot of Type Trideron. And that's the end. So, Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider Drive, episode 32?
Man, well, we're talking about shit's happening. Shit is happening this episode.
We don't even need to say shit's happening anymore, because shit's always happening.
Yeah. But yeah, this was a really good episode, I gotta say. Like, as dumb as the little spritz bottle was, the reveal, and it's been a little while since we had this, where, like, stuff happens for, like, a million episodes, and then it turns out that that's plot relevant.
Mm-hmm.
That happened with Gen. And not being able to say Roidmude. Like, yeah, I thought it was just a joke that it was going to go on for the rest of the series, but it turns out it was fucking plot relevant. It's great.
Yeah, really. They take these little things that you don't think too much about, and they're like, oh, guess what? It was important this whole time, fucker.
It's great.
Yeah.
And we sort of glossed over completely of, like, Chase's thing throughout this episode, but Chase was trying to find out what the ultimate evolution was this episode.
Yeah, Chase's heart tells Chase that they have to, like, become in tune with their chosen emotion in order to achieve the ultimate evolution, but we kind of already knew that. The audience already knew that.
That's true, but Chase does fight Heart, and Heart tells him at the end, it looks like I won't attain my ultimate evolution from fighting you. It'll have to be with him.
Yeah. He can only achieve ultimate joy with someone else. Who's it gonna be?
I wonder. Chase's little part in this episode was monumental, though, when you think about it. And I'm going to use that word, monumental.
How would you say it was monumental?
Because if it wasn't for him, Krim would have kept being a fucking crybaby, which we also skipped over. Of course, we talked about that last episode a little bit. Krim is scared shitless that Shinosuke is going to get killed. Who knew he was right?
He's very validated right now, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he feels great about it. He's dead too, actually, so maybe not. But I love how everybody as well was like, Shinosuke, no, Shinosuke! And Krim's belt is just, like, empty. He's just fucking dead. No one cares.
Krim's been dead the whole time. It's fine. It's just a copy belt.
But Chase goes up to Krim and he's like, Krim, why aren't you with Shinosuke? And Krim's like, oh, I'm scared he'll get a boo-boo. And Chase says the raddest shit when Krim is like, aren't you scared? He's like, I don't understand that emotion. All I understand is that Kamen Rider protects the people. I was like, Chase, you're my fucking favorite character now. That was awesome.
That's his moment. That's his moment where he turns to the camera and says, yeah, I'm the secondary rider. What you gonna do about it?
I fucking love it as well when he brings the kid there to face down 001, and Kiriko's like, why did you bring him here? It's dangerous. And he's like, then I'll protect him.
Yeah, I totally glossed over that. They bring the kid to the abandoned warehouse with him, and he helps them rescue his kidnapped father.
Yeah.
Who was obviously real the whole time. And that's all because of Chase. Yeah.
And Chase transforms, and I had this really weird moment. It's very, like, a personal thing, and I'm sure nobody else had it, but when he transformed after having all of his rad moments and shit, and he transformed into his Kamen Rider Chaser form, like, I had this weird little moment of being let down because his transformation wasn't as cool as everything else he did. I mean, like, Chaser's an alright form. I said I liked it before, and I do. I like the helmet a lot, but the bodysuit is really lacking.
Yep.
And I don't know, he's like this... I feel like he should look more like Kamen Rider Black. I don't know, he's just got this fucking strong determination now. He's not hot-blooded or anything because he's a Robo-Man, but I think the black suited him a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
And when he transformed into his, like, silver-ass form, like, I had this weird little moment where I was like, oh yeah, he's Chaser, okay.
I never liked Chaser, you know that right from the start. He looks like he's wearing hockey pads, blah blah blah. I've said it all before. I just wish it was a little sleeker. Like Lux form. Like, you know, it's with the same driver, so
it's kind of a letdown because I was thinking about this the other day. Proto Drive is such a cool ass looking form. Chaser is such a cool ass looking form.
Mm-hmm.
And Kamen Rider Chaser is just kind of a middling to okay suit.
Yes, it's no type technique, but...
No, it's not.
It's nothing special.
I think we should comment every episode that type technique did not show up in this episode. A+, Toei.
Woo! That's A+. On the scale of 1 to 10, that is one extra point.
So I really did enjoy this episode. I felt like Shinosuke's hot-bloodedness is turned up to fucking 11 in this episode, and I guess he pays the price for it, but it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
What did you think about this episode, Liam?
Well, I just said it was fantastic. This is my... I hesitate to say it's my favorite so far.
This is on record forever.
Really? It's really good. It's really fucking good. It's one of the best Drive episodes we've had so far, if only for its ending, which was just so... Like, I love when they do the forms. Like, we were complaining the other week about how, Dead Heat wasn't really integrated into the plot enough. It was just like, we need the dead zone, and then hey, let's just fucking forget about the dead zone.
Yeah.
Next episode. I like that they're doing this big, important, like, kind of darker, standing out, like, multi-episode arc to bring in Trideron. They're fucking pulling a slam dunk for it, and I love that shit, so...
Yeah, we're gonna have to have a real reason for Trideron to exist, because something has to bring Shinosuke back from the fucking graveyard where they're gonna bury him in the next episode.
So yeah, it's got me really, really excited to see the next episode. This is one of the best. This is one of the best episodes in the whole season, I think.
Yeah. I actually really hope that the next episode, we don't even get Type Trideron until, like, the last 5 minutes, and then it goes to the fucking... next episode thing, and, like, Shinosuke's dead all the way up until then.
Yeah.
And we see what they do without him.
Yeah, because we know what Type Trideron looks like. We know what it's going to look like when it's revealed. I want to see the build-up.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I'm excited for. So yeah,
I'm really interested in seeing what happens to Go next episode. I know no one gives a shit about him anymore but me.
He's going to get fucking sprayed with the bottle.
Well, fuck no. Hold your shit for a second.
Okay.
When Shinosuke gets killed... Go immediately fucking stops fighting, and it keeps cutting back to him reacting to it.
He's gonna get sprayed with the fucking bottle.
He probably will, but I really hope that... Because the kid didn't get sprayed with the bottle, right? He realized through his own emotions that his father was alive.
They left a bottle with him.
He doesn't have it, though, when he shows up. I was waiting for that when he's like, here, Shinosuke, here's the bottle. Spray Go in the fucking face with it. But it never materialized.
I assumed he just, like, he picked it up out of the trash can, sprayed himself with the face when it... with the fucking bottle in his face.
That and then ruins when, oh my the God, whole and the... thing that Shinosuke says, though, when he says that, like, no matter what you do to people's memories, they'll still have the feelings. And he eats the cake or whatever, and then he, like, a tear rolls down his face because he remembers.
Right. You're not wrong. So, yeah.
And maybe... I hope that happens to Go. Like, he sees Shinosuke get killed, and he's like, oh my God, Big Bro Shin, what have I done?
I hope you're right about that, because I would, like, as cheesy as that is, I prefer it to them just getting sprayed in the face with the blue.
Yeah. They're gonna have to spray somebody in the face with the blue.
The extras are going to get sprayed in the face with the blue.
I'm fine with that. They don't need to have, like, emotional awakenings for all these 20 characters we've never fucking met.
Yeah, the blue will probably just act as, like, here's this cleanup so there's no big plot hole at the end of the series where, like, millions of people are still mind-controlled. Like, no, we sprayed them all, it's fine.
Everybody jump in this fucking river of blue we've made for you.
Just put it in the water for a week and it'll solve itself.
Poison the water of Japan.
I said this earlier, and I think my big sticking point with this episode was Nira. Because I love... Nira, I love that he is the biggest douche in the show, and he's not a douche anymore.
That might not be true, though. I love that he went from, like, being a huge dickhead to everybody in the Special Crimes Unit to, like, pretending like they were the best buds who ever lived, like, forcing his face up close to theirs and big smiles and shit. He's still so ridiculous and over the top. And he even stole the chief's favorite thing to do. That's pretty dickheaded.
It's all friendly whimsy. I miss when he was, like, taking sexual pleasure and denying Tomari his happiness. You know those bits when he's, like, shoving his face up in his face, like, oh yeah, Tomari, you're suspended. Ooh. Yeah. Like, that was
I too have seen pornography.
That shit, I busted a gut every fucking time that happened, and I'm gonna miss that. Going forward.
You know, that might not actually be the end of it, but I hope it's not the end of it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm hoping as well. But overall, fantastic episode. I'm biting my nails waiting for the next one. So, yeah.
Man, me too. I haven't been on the edge of my seat like this for Drive the whole time, but it's getting, like, into this area where I'm just really excited for the next episode.
Yeah. Still got my fingers crossed that they're not just going to go back to no plot again, but I think... They've earned my good faith now. I think it's going to keep going.
Yeah, I think we're past that point.
Thank God.
Where they could go back to no plot. But please don't try and prove me wrong, Toei. Please.
The longer they continue the plot, the worse it would be if they went back to no plot. So please...
No kidding.
Keep it going. I know I have faith in Toei for once in my life.
I'm trying not to think about what might happen next episode because I might get my hopes dashed, but... Think about this, like, if Go snaps out of his mind control or everything, think about Brain's reaction to that.
How many he'd probably chew his handkerchief.
Yeah, how many handkerchiefs are gonna get bitten?
I can't wait. I cannot wait to see just everything in the next episode.
That's gonna be good. Hopefully, yeah. Also, something I really enjoyed is that Chase has a running joke now.
What is his...
His, like, running joke is, you didn't ask.
Yeah. He withholds information, and then they're asked, like, why didn't you tell us sooner? He's like, because nobody asked me. Like, I love that shit. Fuck. This show has gotten... I never would have expected it to get this good.
Yeah.
I know I've said this before, but I'm still a bit taken aback by it.
I wouldn't want to go back to watching the series from the beginning again, because what a slog that would be. Knowing it's going to get good at some point.
I'm sure it's easier watching it all at once when you just blow through the bad and get straight to the good. But watching it week by week, just waiting and waiting and waiting for shit to happen early on, I'm really glad we're past that.
It's good.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched this episode, now you have. Go watch it, though.
We talked about it for roughly 20 minutes, so you've gotten the full experience.
Yeah, there's a guy who sent us an email this time who said he doesn't watch Drive, but he listens to the podcast. What the fuck?
We're spoiling everything for this guy. I'm sorry, but I mean, it's his choice to listen, so if that's what he wants.
Let's move on to news. Move on to news.
What do we got?
Well, let's start with the big news of the day. My news.
Okay. The important news.
Is that thanks to the magic of Japanese trademark registration, we now know that Kamen Rider Ghost has a specific driver and specific tchotchkes to shove into that driver.
And what are these called, Jeff?
Uninterestingly enough, the driver is called the Ghost Driver.
No.
But interestingly, the tchotchkes that get shoved into it are called Ghost Icons.
Ghost Icons.
What so is those that? Could be fucking anything. Yeah, really.
It might as well just be called Ghost Toys. Like, what the fuck ghost is it gonna thing. Be, I wonder?
Yeah. Also, it was revealed that he has a weapon called the Gangan Saber.
Like Gangan G?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's the same spelling, as far as I know.
Is Gangan like an onomatopoeia for like a ghost flying in Japanese or something like that? It sounds
like
that's what it
would be. I think it's an onomatopoeia for armor. Like rattling around, because he was called Gangan G because he wore the stupid big heavy armor.
Okay. We'll have to wait and see. This is all rampant speculation from Gaijins right now.
It's conjecture, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, that's all we really know about Kamen Rider Ghost right now, and I think it's going to be a while before we learn anything else.
God, I'm so fucking hyped for Kamen Rider Ghost. I can't believe it's actually happening.
I would pay real money for it not to happen now, just to crush your dreams.
Go back. I have to find the episode where I predict it, like, before anybody even had the slightest inkling, so I can tell if when to go back and fucking listen to it. I'm so glad it's on record.
You didn't predict that shit. You were like, oh, I really wish it would be like this.
I really wish it would be like this, and Toei heard my pleas.
God. Yeah, thanks for that. I gotta hear that forever.
Yeah, get used to it.
Fuck.
In other news, we have a silhouette that reveals absolutely nothing about Super Dead Heat.
How many forms are we going to get that are just like super ultra mega fucking type technique?
Well, have you seen the videos where they hack the drive driver?
Yeah, I have.
Where you get like it's a high speed, get wild, ultra technique, get next, mega max flare, get high. There's like, you just add shit in front of all the
fucking subliminal messages in the belt
get
driver.
Get high ultra. No, but like, you have stuff like Max Flare and Mad Doctor and stuff, and then you have the same thing with the word mega in front of it, or super, or whatever. Like, the drive driver has a shit ton of stuff that we are never going to see. So
nope.
I guess they're just throwing it all out there. So there's Super Dead Heat. I don't know.
That'll be like supplemental material shit. Like, they'll start releasing like novels or whatever, like light novels that have type get next in them and shit.
Get next. Where do you think Super Dead Heat is going to show up? You think that's going to be Mach's Final Form or Hyper Battle Video?
If I had to guess now, I would say it's probably going to be like a Hyper Battle Video kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because
sounds like it.
Mach is not the secondary rider anymore.
Well, we know he's going to have a final form, though. We saw it teased with it was teased a few weeks ago. There was a silhouette.
Yeah, we talked about the silhouette, yeah. So you might be right, now that I think about it.
So we'll see. Maybe they'll both get final forms, Mach and Chase.
That would be, I think, the first time that all three riders in a series got a final form like that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Next news?
An era is ending. Kamen Rider Kiva will be getting an SH figure art very soon.
Oh, God! Everything I know about the world is wrong!
I couldn't believe it either. I couldn't believe it until I saw it with my own eyes. But from the day of its release forward, we will be counting the years from KF for Kiva figure art. Starting with Kiva figure art 1. This is truly a new age.
Fucking shit. All my jokes are worthless now. Like, every joke I had for the rest of my days was going to be, at least, it happened before Kiva's figure art came out.
Kiva got a figure art before Half-Life 3, we can say that now. But I can't say I'm surprised. The only thing I'm surprised about is that it fucking took them so long.
Yeah, it makes no sense as well, since, I don't know, fucking...
He's a main writer. That's reason enough for him to have a figure art, I think.
You would imagine that would be the first thing they would do.
Yeah.
But, nah.
Oh, here he is. It's not just him, it's every Heisei writer is getting... Every Heisei writer that hasn't had a recent figure art is getting there soon. So you gotta have a new one for Ryuki. Reissue. Yeah, Blade, all them's.
So they already did the reissues of Kuga and Agito.
They did Kabuto, they did Decade. They've done reissues a lot recently.
Man, they look good. That Kuga is, like, melting a hole in my wallet right now as we speak. I want it so badly.
Yeah, usually we don't do toy release news on this podcast, or else we'd be talking about news just all episode, every episode, but I felt that was significant enough.
It's, like you said, end of an era.
Yeah. Also, we got a little more details about the toy for the Type Trider on Shift Car. And like most of the other Shift Cars, it's not really much special, but it's got a little screen with a light on it, and you light it up, and it lights up a little picture of all the Shift Cars in there. You press a little button and it lights up.
A shift card does something now.
Thank goodness. We finally, it's not just a worthless hunk of plastic.
It's a Hot Wheels. They're all Hot Wheels.
Okay, it's not just a Hot Wheels. It's a Hot Wheels with a light in it now. Which I'm sure Hot Wheels had probably like 20 years ago.
Back when Hot Wheels were real Hot Wheels, damn it.
Back before these casual Hot Wheels.
Alright, let's move on to mail, because I got a good question here in the mailbox.
Alright, what do you got?
From Dale, he says, "Hi guys, I love your podcast." Thank you. What I want to know is, who is your favorite female rider, and who is your favorite female character in general?
Well, when it comes to female riders, the pickings are pretty slim.
They are. I know exactly where you're going to go with this shit, too. Everyone does. Everyone listening.
Now, if you think I'm going to talk about Tackle, you're dead wrong, if that's where you're going.
No.
No? Where do you think I was going with it?
I thought you were going to go to Femme.
No. Fuck Femme. Just because I like Ryuki doesn't mean I like that awful movie. God.
You fucking love that movie.
No, it's a bad movie. Episode Final is bad.
That's true. It is a bad movie.
If I had to pick a favorite female rider, I would probably say America or Malika, depending on how you translate it. The peach one.
She's sort of the only female rider that gets any sort of like screen time, really.
She's the coolest, hands down.
She is cool.
She's badass, and she does like flip kicks, and she's got a cool form. She's got a cool weapon. She's competent for a percentage of her appearance. Her character doesn't take a nosedive until the very end with all the other characters.
She's competent for the same exact percentage that all the other villains are.
Yeah.
Which is saying something.
Well, it's a point for equality. For gender equality. She is exactly as useless as the other energy riders.
So is she your favorite female character as well?
Female character, I want to say Tackle, because she's technically not a rider, so I can't pick her as the rider.
Fuck you. I pick Tackle as my favorite female rider.
Tackle is a rider in everything but name. I agree. She is a rider. I just figured, like, if we're gonna stick official, I like Tackle.
Yeah, Tackle is my favorite female rider. My favorite female character, it might also be Tackle, but I don't know. There have been some cool female characters in Kamen Rider history. I tell you, a character I really enjoyed because I really love, like, mysterious benefactor-type characters. Like, I fucking loved Racer X growing up. I love Proto-Man. I love mysterious benefactors, so I really enjoyed Shroud in Kamen Rider Double. Shroud is this mysterious-ass lady who shows up wearing, like, a scarf around her face, dark sunglasses, and a big, like, femme fatale-style hat. And she just, like, gives shit to characters all the time and warns them about, like, the dangers they're getting into and everything in this really cryptic-ass way.
She give them upgrades or something?
Yeah, she gives them upgrades and fucking everything, and gives them, she shows up in very mysterious ways and gives them mysterious speeches.
Yeah.
and the reveal of who she is surprised no one, but was still cool.
Okay, that's pretty neat. As for Tackle, we didn't really go much into Tackle, did we?
No, but I'm sure everybody who's listening to this knows who Tackle is.
Yeah, I like Tackle because she's got a good partner dynamic with Stronger.
Yeah, especially for the time, she's exceptionally competent. She's capable of fighting all the same people that Stronger is capable of fighting, except he's the main character, so he wins.
Hang on. I mean, I watched Stronger kind of recently, and as cool as Tackle is, a lot of the Monster of the Week plots have her either A, getting kidnapped and rescued by Stronger, or B, she's like, go Stronger, fight the monster, I'll fight the mooks with my electrowave toss, which makes him do a front flip.
This is the 1970s. That's pretty fucking good.
That's true. That's true. I gotta contextualize. But like I said, I do like her. She's really cool. But she could be cooler.
That's true. And she actually came back in a Kamen Rider Decade movie. I believe it was All Riders versus Die Shocker is the one she came back in, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't seen Decade or any of its things.
Yeah, this is also the movie where Japanese J-rock singer Gackt plays fucking Rider Man.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that shit.
So, take that movie with a grain of fucking salt.
Not even... let's not go into that movie right now. No. Maybe in a
He didn't even
podcast.
Wear a fucking costume. Yeah. I had to put that out there. Fuck that movie.
Yeah, just throw that detail out for later. Ugh. Yeah, Tackle, though. Thumbs up. She's really cool.
Yes, she is.
You want to move on to the next mail?
Yeah, we'll move on.
All right. We got one from a fella named Graham.
A fellow who is actually a friend of ours.
Yeah. He says, what is your favorite Monster of the Week / Fortnite? No bats or spiders. Well, thanks for that fucking restriction. That's like 50% gone.
Yeah, that sucks.
Jeff, what's your favorite Monster of the Week?
My favorite Monster of the Week is probably like a split down the center. I love I'm going back to Double for this one. I guess I talk about Double a lot, but it's one of my favorite series.
Mm.
But in Kamen Rider Double, the main villain of the series has a cat named Mick. And he pets Mick all the time when it's like a fucking Dr. No in a Bond movie. He has a cat on his lap petting it all the time. And at some point in the series, he says, well, I have to send my best assassin to take care of Kamen Rider Double. And he takes out a Gaia memory and puts it in the fucking cat's back.
What the fuck?
And the cat transforms into Similodon.
Similodon? Wow.
And he's like a fucking saber-toothed tiger. A big buff-ass saber-toothed tiger monster who's like animalistic and fights on like his hands and feet at the same time. And he's actually really fun to watch, and it's hilarious that he's just a cat.
Is it bad CG, or is it a guy in a suit?
It's a guy in a suit.
Okay, alright. Just gets on all
And
four.
It's actually a really cool suit on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
what is your other split down the middle?
My other is Scissors Jaguar.
Scissors Jaguar. From which season?
It's actually from Kamen Rider The Next, which is a terrible fucking movie. But every time he's on screen is so fucking enjoyable.
Oh, you showed me Scissors Jaguar.
Yeah, this guy is so into his role. Like, he's having more fun than everyone else in the whole movie put together when he's doing it. He's just yelling shit in English with, a really angry voice. He's sticking his tongue out and yelling and fucking flipping around. And he's this tiny little, like, Japanese businessman-looking guy with glasses. It's great. I don't know why I love it so much, but I do.
That sounds like a fun character. He is a fun character. I've seen it. He's fun to watch.
He is.
Yeah.
So those are my two. There are a ton of really great Monsters of the Week / Fortnite. And if it wasn't restricted to Monster of the Week... Then, which I guess I probably shouldn't have chosen Similodon for that since he comes back a bunch, but I would have chosen Nazca from Double, but he's one of the, like, main villains for a good part of the series.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we can talk about recurring villains later, our
which
favorites.
Similodon is as well. Let me think about a different answer while you answer.
You're just fucked. Okay, my favorite Monster of the Week. I don't know if mine counts either. Shit. Because the most memorable ones are the ones that appear over multiple weeks, right? Those are the ones that are built the most.
Well, Monster of the Week can be there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I guess.
As long as it's part of one story.
Yeah, my favorite Monster of the Week is Whale Mutant from Black. because he showed that not all the mutants are just heartless murder monsters. He's, if you're unfamiliar with Whale Mutant's story, he's sitting in the back of the Golgom hideout, and he overhears the Golgom priests talking, and they're like, oh, we're so evil, we're gonna drain all the oceans and kill all the fish, because it's like, fuck them. And Whale Mutant is standing behind like a rock, and he's like, oh no, I don't want that to happen to my friends.
I love the fish.
So he helps Black for a bit. It's a really good arc, and he's like this friendly little whale, and he can't talk very well because he's a weird mutant.
And he, that's like the it's like the mole in Amazon.
Mole Beast Man, yeah.
Yeah, Mole Beast Man.
And like Mole Beast Man, Whale Mutant has a hard fucking life after he changes sides, let's just say. I don't want to give the whole plot arc away.
It does not pay to be a hero in a Kamen Rider series who isn't human or a Kamen Rider.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. But Whale Mutant has a very good... He's a very good plot. He's got a lot of pathos. He's just lovable. And he adds a bit of depth to mutants in general. Like, yeah. You think they're all just brainwashed monsters. But here's one that shows that they're different.
If I had to choose, like, an actual monster of the week / Fortnite, I would choose the Grasshopper Grongi, the first one in Kamen Rider Kuga. Because he has a scarf like Kamen Rider, rides a motorcycle, but he's evil as fuck. And when he first shows up, he and Kuga have this sick-ass fucking motorcycle fight inside of a warehouse, and it's awesome.
See, this is why Kuga is next on my list, because I hear Kuga has sick bike fights. I have right now.
He hardly ever comes into a scene on his bike and doesn't hit a monster in the face with the front wheel.
Oh, that's cool.
Hardly ever.
Cool as shit. All right, what's our next mail?
We have another email from our friend Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
And Barrett asks, why do we keep watching this drawn-out toy commercial? He says, for me, I really enjoy how the show picks a theme and sticks to it. Everything in Drive is about personal motivation. The monsters search for it, the belt's powered by it, and every boring side episode is about why the characters do the things they do.
Well, Jeff, why do you watch Kamen Rider?
Explosions are cool, man. No, I watch Kamen Rider because I love seeing characters progress from the beginning of the series to the end, even if we don't have a long character arc where characters change from beginning to end. We at least get to see how they react to the superhuman circumstances that they're put in. Like, one of my favorite parts of all Kamen Rider history is the very first episode of the original Kamen Rider, where we see college student super genius Hongo Takeshi get captured, and the horrible act of surgery is inflicted upon him.
I'm never going to live that one down, ever. They commit surgery on him.
They commit surgery on him. And we get to see his reaction to being an inhuman monster and the circumstances he's put in. And of course, it's not delved into so deeply because it's a children's television series from 1971.
Mm.
But the pathos is real. And we get to see some of that in successive episodes. And throughout the whole series, that comes up every now and then. But it's never felt more raw and real than when Hongo goes to get a drink of water and, like, destroys the glass he's holding.
Mm.
And he's like, holy shit, I'm never gonna be human again.
Power he cannot control fully. It's tragic, really. The show writers, they always have such tragic stories. Their whole lives are fucking stolen from them.
Yeah. Hongo never goes back to college. Like, he didn't graduate. He never goes back. He was a graduate student because he's a monster now, and he has to give his whole life to stop Shocker, and then Gel Shocker, and then fucking everything forever.
Yeah, he never stops. He's always coming back in those crossover movies. 65 years old.
He aged as well for some reason. Whatever.
Yeah, I think that pathos is what draws a lot of people to Kamen Rider.
What about you, Liam?
As for me, I think a large part of me is still a kid at heart. I like the suits in Kamen Rider.
You don't say?
What?
You don't say?
Huh?
A large part of you is still a child?
I like the suits of Kamen Rider. I like the gadgets and all. I like the toys. I bought a lot of them, but I at the same time, like, you could watch a kid's show in America, and it's just like you don't get the same kind of writing. I know Kamen Rider isn't Shakespeare, but it's got a level of what's the word I'm using here? It's got a level of human emotion that isn't really present in a lot of like kids' action shows that you'd find from other countries.
Yeah.
Like you said,
when we take our comic books and turn them into cartoons, we almost always strip out all the emotion and everything to it to make it more palatable for children. But, like, Kamen Rider is like a comic book that's just translated directly to live action.
Yeah, Japanese kids, I guess, can just handle it a little better. A little more, like, darker themes, deeper themes, more... And that isn't, like I said, this isn't to say Kamen Rider is fucking Ulysses, but I'm saying, like, comparatively to most American kids' media, it's a cut above. So I get to enjoy all my fun stuff, all my fun little gadgets and toys and explosions and suits, but there is still sort of a veneer of real writing above it that I like.
I can agree with that.
There's real emotions, and parts where you're actually like, oh, that's a good scene. There's some good writing there. I liked it.
Barrett also says, P.S. I do like how the cure to having freeze mess with your head is being hot-blooded. Well, never noticed that.
maybe it is hot blood. Apparently it seems now that it's just randomly, like, your genes might match up or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, who the fuck knows?
Maybe it's hot-bloodedness. That would be a great twist.
It really would be.
We have one from a fellow named Jeremy. He says... Hello again, people who are cool. Kinda. Thanks.
Well, kinda thanks.
Kinda. I would like to say that I like the ending of Gaim, episode 47 and all. It was a single episode redemption arc that was needed to make Michi likable, kinda, again. I mean, the evil rider at the end was a bit silly, but I did like his helmet design. Also, my question is, if you could make a cast of 5 riders and make a Sentai team with them, who would it be and why? First of all, Jeremy Wolf, I vehemently disagree with your opinion on Gaim 47. I hate almost everything.
I do as well. The evil rider at the end is actually Kamen Rider Malice.
A fucking movie rider.
Yeah, he's from the movie. He wasn't made just for that episode.
They're just like, hey, watch. It's literally like retroactive, watch our movie.
I guess he was Jam or whatever in the last fucking episode.
Yeah, but it's Malice reincarnated into this girl with horrible teeth.
You and that fucking girl's teeth.
I'm never gonna get over her teeth. It was like fangs shoved up halfway up her gum. Watch that episode again, everyone. If you 47, watch it. The girl has fucked up teeth. Look at her mouth.
I think we've all learned that Liam is actually a dentist this episode.
So, yeah, 47 is poop. I don't think Michi needed a single episode redemption arc. I was fine with it just ending with him like, oh, fuck, you're fucked, Michi. Like, it's enough that you can imagine the rest of it, right? The story doesn't have to conclude absolutely everything. Takatora wakes up, and we know Takatora is a genuinely good-hearted person. We don't need to see it. We know, as an audience. It's like, a redemption arc would have been fine if they could fit it in something more than one single episode. That's my opinion.
If they knew that they were going to be doing these Gaim Gaiden movies, that would have been the perfect place for it.
Absolutely. If there's ever a Gaim Gaiden Ryugen, maybe we'll get something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right, so you're cast of 5 riders to make a Sentai team. Go.
Ooh, Knight as the leader.
God damn. You tanked it already. You fucking tanked it already.
No, Knight would be blue. He would be the edgelord one who is like, oh, I hate you, Red. I don't follow orders very well. The leader would be stronger, the hot-blooded justice man who wants revenge. Knight would be blue. Green would be, 5 any riders, not just main riders, eh?
Yeah, 5 any riders.
Green would be, I'm almost tempted to say Godai. He's like, he could be like the upbeat one that helps everybody, that gives them the encouragement they need to succeed.
That's true.
He'd work very well in that group dynamic. Yellow would be... I don't know, fucking America, because you need... No, America would be pink, because you need a girl, and she's a girl. And yellow would be, fucking, I don't know, Super One, so they could go to space sometimes.
You've got this series planned out.
Toei, call me.
I'm here. If I could pick 5 riders, the red would be Tendo.
Mm.
Why? Because the you don't really get the dickhead Red very often. The Red who's like hugely full of himself, and it ends up being really good television. What? Sometimes
I don't watch Sentai much. What Sentai seasons do that?
Shinkinger had that to begin with, until we learned that Shinken Red was only trying to keep the other people out of harm.
Oh, I saw the first episode of Shinkinger. Yeah, yeah. He's like, "Don't fucking call me Lord. I don't want to be a samurai. Leave me alone."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could be Tendo.
Yeah.
And Green could be Agito. I feel like he would fit that role really well. Blue would be Goofy Blue.
Okay, like Tokari.
Goofy Blue would be Kagami.
Yeah. But you got two Kabuto characters now. What are you going to do?
I'm going to be fine with it. Actually, right. Red and my perfect team would be Hongo.
Of course.
And Hongo would whip these fucking kids into shape. It would be Hongo as, like, this old fucker, and everybody else on the team is young. So it's like Hongo, Shoichi
from Agito. Hongo is the grizzled veteran.
Kagami. Black would be not Black. Although that would also be cool. Black Wait. Would be Shotaro from Double. He would be Joker.
Okay.
And for Pink would be...
Where's the girl? Pick the girl, Ryder.
Yeah, man.
Search those four characters.
Let's search the four or five characters we've got here. I'll tell you what, Pink could be Nadeshiko from Forza. Okay.
Yeah.
She seems like she could have used a little bit more fucking air time.
Yeah, I can see it.
And also, she's bubbly.
Yeah.
Perfect for a Pink.
Now, whose team would win in a fight, mine or yours?
Hongo's on my team.
Okay, yeah, he can survive nukes and shit. He'd probably win. But I got Kuga. Can't Kuga, like, blow up a whole city with a kick?
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, I got that
He can
shit.
Blow up the world with a kick in his yeah. ultimate form.
But you got Gatak, and he can freeze time.
Yeah, that's true.
Ugh, I didn't pick a single Kabuto writer. I'm an idiot.
I didn't know we were going to be fighting at the end of this fucking
It's a
thing.
Little surprise. Death battle.
I win.
Eh, okay. I'll give it to you.
We have one last email.
The most important one.
The most important one. We got an email from John Toei.
Hello, sir. It's an honor to finally meet you.
He says, "Greetings, Jeff and Liam. It is I, John Toei. I'm a big fan of your podcast, and you give me lots of inspiration for my Kamen Rider series." Oh, God, it's such an honor.
I know, really?
Wow. Your English is perfect, Mr. Toei.
It's like having God stare you right in the face and say, "You are my greatest creation."
He says, "I have news about the next Kamen Rider to share. In order to better appeal to our target audience, Kamen Rider Ghost will be a six-year-old boy. He transforms by inserting crayons into his ghost driver, which is fashioned after a crayon box. He switches forms by coloring in images of them in his trusty coloring book."
Keep going, it's not over.
Ghost's base form is white, which is a reference to how the white crayon is the shittiest. His secondary is just Kaiza again. Well, thank you for your letter, Whoa. Mr. Toei.
I know it wasn't a question, but we had to read it out. We had to. Fuck you.
We knew about this for fucking... It's been in our mailbox for like a week, and I've just kept looking back at it all week long when I was sad, and just fucking laugh every time.
So, John Toei, over in Japan, I salute you.
I salute you and your beautiful American name.
Oh my God, I remember Jeff told me to look at the email inbox. He said, "Check your fucking inbox, we got a mail. Just read it." And I instantly regretted reading it there because I wanted to read it. Like, I wanted to read it first time here. It was so fucking good. Oh, God.
Ugh. When I first read it, I just started fucking laughing halfway through it. And towards the end, I was rolling.
How are you supposed to... Fuck. Yeah, so if you need confirmation that Toei listens to our podcast, right there. There you go.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
Okay. Well,
that and Kamen Rider Ghost being the next rider.
Yeah.
It's proof.
The evidence is mounting. We have an email, riderclubradio@gmail.com. We've got a Twitter, that's @riderclubradio. Please send us all your hate mail. Please follow us on Twitter.
Super seriously, follow us on Twitter. We've got like 38 fucking followers. We like our followers. They're good guys. We know there's more of you people listening to this shit. We post these type of jokes all the time.
If you want hilarity of the podcast all week round, you poor fucking soul, follow us on Twitter, please, because our follow number is low.
Our e-peen is shriveling.
Yeah, it's in desperate need.
Our e-peen is George Costanza's dick in the pool.
All right.
Yeah, but seriously, follow us on Twitter if you don't. And the thing about it is, if you send us a really funny tweet, we'll probably talk about it on the podcast as well. Like, we have room. It's only 53 minutes. We can get to a whole hour here.
Yeah, you can ask us a question on Twitter if you want. You can submit a comment on Twitter. And like I've said before, if you send us a real rocking good tweet, yeah, we'll read it out.
Yeah. I mean, if you have some opinions to share about Kamen Rider, the best way to do it is through Twitter, because it's 140 characters, so we'll actually read it on the fucking podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you send us a dissertation via email, we're not going to read that on the podcast. We appreciate it, and we love reading your ideas on Kamen Rider and what you like about Kamen Rider, but yeah, that's too much.
We'll read it, but we won't read it live on the podcast. Keep it, like, you should keep in mind, we do actually read every email we get.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And as a quick note, we received a question about our rules for tabletop gaming. Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
We thought that it would take too long to talk about that, so we'll probably do that when we have a light week. We'll tell you what our rules are for it and everything, or we might do it in like a little secondary special podcast we'll do at some point.
Maybe, yeah. A tabletop cast.
Look yeah. forward to it. Not in the near future, since I'm getting my wisdom teeth out tomorrow, but at some point.
We'll see.
Well, thanks for watching, everybody. Or thank listening, you. If you're not watching it on YouTube.
Thanks for doing whatever you do.
Whatever it is that gets our voice to your face. Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
See ya.